that, you know.
And that takes some vision.
The Fisher's first, he had three laws, and I can't remember them now, but they, one of them was absolutely magnificent. They were very similar.
This is the Quality News Network. Taliban leaders claim they have killed a South Korean hostage, one of 23 Christian aid workers abducted by Islamic militants, because the Afghan government let a deadline pass without releasing Taliban prisoners from its jails. The report remains unconfirmed until a body is provided. Afghan officials say intelligence reports indicate that two hostages may have been killed. 10 Afghans working for a U.S. security company were killed in an ambush today in southern Afghanistan. The attack occurred on the same highway on which those South Koreans were kidnapped more than a week ago. In his first official meeting with President Bush as Britain's prime minister, Gordon Brown reaffirmed today his country's continuing military presence in Iraq. Meantime, the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq says a large contingent of troops will be needed in the country until mid-2009. If that timeline is kept, that means the Iraq war would pass to President Bush's successor. Today, the Pentagon announced three U.S. soldiers have been killed during combat operations in the Anbar province. A car bomb in a Baghdad market killed six people today and wounded 12. 52 other Iraqis died in sectarian attacks today throughout the country. As many as seven people were killed and 50 wounded by stray bullets when thousands of Iraqis took to the streets to celebrate the country's soccer victory in the Asian Cup tournament. Iraqi Parliament adjourned for the month of August today. A report released by the U.S. Inspector General monitoring Iraqi reconstruction, highly critical of the government's management of funding and projects. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Chief Robert Gates head to the Middle East today to hold a series of talks with allies meant to help improve security. The two also bring governments there billions of dollars in military aid deals. In the Gaza Strip, Palestinians who fled during battles between Hamas and Fatah weeks ago began returning to their homes today. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas asked for Russia's support in his feud with rival faction Hamas for control over the Palestinian territories. Former San Francisco 49er head coach Bill Walsh died of leukemia today at the age of 75. Late night talk show host Tom Snyder also passed away in San Francisco yesterday. Snyder was 71. A look at science and business news just ahead.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Dad, what happens when those sprinklers come on?
We give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, where it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green, and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Diabetes drug Avandia should be pulled from the market, according to federal health officials. The drug has been linked to an increased risk of heart attack. Researchers have identified two genes they think may increase the risk of contracting multiple sclerosis. It is the first major gene discovery in the field in two decades. A controversial new study released yesterday in London says global warming is contributing to an increase in the number and ferocity of Atlantic hurricanes. Number of hurricanes per season has doubled over the last 100 years. Sara Lee recalling 27 whole wheat flour products because they may contain small bits of metal. Most of the products distributed across the southern states under 13 different brand names. Defense contractor Lockheed Martin announced a 34% surge in quarterly profit, fueled by revenues earned as a result of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Northwest Airlines canceled more than 500 flights over the weekend in a dispute with pilots who say they are being asked to fly too many hours a month. Federal restrictions mandate 1,000 flying hours annually. Light sweet crude oil trading at $76.83. That's down 19 cents. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 92 points at 13,358. NASDAQ up 21 points. S&P 500 up 15. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Good afternoon, good evening, good day. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for Monday, the 30th day of July, and it's really good to be over the weekend humping back with you. I wouldn't kid you. A spate, however, of what do we call them? Deaths, transitions, passings away. Today, Ingmar Bergman, groundbreaking, earth-shattering, paradigm-shifting filmmaker, dead. At his home in Sweden. For those football fans among you, myself included, a great loss in the form of Bill Walsh, 75 years old, of leukemia. That came as a surprise. But the one that grabbed me the most was that of Tom Snyder. Died yesterday in San Francisco at the age of 71. Tom Snyder was a giant in his profession, and in fact, his show ran on NBC after the Carson show from 1973 to 1982. So that coincided with just that point in time where a little boy begins to get to stay up late and see, because you know, staying up late's big stuff. And so when I could hold my little eyelids open, I stayed awake and I watched what was really happening in America via the conversations that Tom Snyder had on his program. And it was fascinating stuff, because things got said on Tom Snyder's Tomorrow program that wouldn't have been said anywhere else. And in a way, I was having a discussion earlier today. I think it could be fairly said, not that I would ever dare to compare myself to somebody like Tom Snyder, but the spirit of the way he conducted his conversations has a lot to do with the way we conduct ours here. Long form, free form, see where it takes you. Take the notes that you've written down beforehand, throw them out the window, and go where the breezes blow. And it made for some fascinating conversation, and in many ways, journalism. Because again, people said things on Tom Snyder's show that they wouldn't say anywhere else. And moreover, he also put light on things that were being ignored or vilified or demonized by other parts of the media. I remember being a kid and seeing, I guess maybe it was 60 Minutes or something, an expose on that punk rock craze in England. This is about the time of the Sex Pistols. And, you know, they had shocked people. And, oh, my God, do you not? Those people have safety pins in their faces. What's wrong with them? and some stentorian-voiced reporter, "It is widely expected that punk rock will be the doom of Western civilization." You know, just like every time anything socially threatening comes along, "It will be the doom of Western civilization." So, Tom Snyder then, of course, has people on proving it's not the doom of Western civilization, but it's something altogether typical or normal, to wit, the rebellion of a certain class of people via music. And that had an impact on me as a young man. You know, as through my high school years, as I would get home from the Gospel Voice, got off at midnight, and I'd get home and Tom Snyder would be on. And I'd sit there and watch. And yeah, it did have an impact. So without further ado, this is not my creation, I stole it somewhere, but it's worth hearing just to hear what it sounded like way back then. Tom Snyder, Requiescat in Pace.
What got you into this?
You know, you went to see those movies with Elvis or somebody in it when we were still in Liverpool, and you'd see everybody waiting to see him, right? And I'd be waiting there too, and they'd all scream when he came on the screen, right? So we thought, that's a good job. That's why most musicians are on stage, actually.
Why is that?
to get a little Tom, to get a little extra.
What, a little extra money?
You know what it is. It is 2 o'clock.
Why do you dislike rock and roll so
it's
much?
It's dead. It's a disease. It's history. It's vile. It's not achieving anything. It's just degression. They play rock and roll at airports. That's about as, like, advanced as it can possibly get.
Even when you were with the Sex Pistols?
I wondered when you'd get round to that one. Yes, even then.
John Lydon.
The Sex Pistols was going to be the absolute end of rock and roll, which I thought it was. Unfortunately, the majority of the public, being the senile animals that they are, got that wrong. Too bad.
Were you happy when you found out you weren't going to go to the gas chamber, Charles?
I knew I wasn't going to go to the gas chamber because I hadn't done anything wrong.
Why does that accent sound familiar?
I said, do what you want to do. Don't tell me what to do. I don't like people telling me what to do. This has come from a place where they told me what to do all my life. You know, I want to find out what to do for myself, you know. But I was going to take a trade one of these days, maybe learn to be a welder or something. Until I can get to the front gate anyway.
I think he's frightened by death, and I think that he is as scared of us as we are of him. I get the feeling he'll be quite content to spend the rest of his life playing mind games in the jailhouse. And I also believe that Charles Manson knows exactly what he's done.
Later, Tom Snyder. Later. That last one, of course, was Charles Manson. There's something about that accent. There's something about Charles Manson's voice that seems oddly familiar. Oh, yeah. If you open up your Charleston High School yearbook from the late 50s, you'll see young Charlie's picture there. Another little bit of West Virginia that has seeped out outside the borders, Charles Manson. But as great an observation on Charles Manson as has ever been made, I think he's as afraid of us as we are of him. Tom Snyder, his like won't come again. Could Tom Snyder, and this is part of a larger discussion, could Tom Snyder exist in the media environment that we have today? Could you have Tom Snyder sitting there yucking it up with Kiss? Or Alfred Hitchcock? Totally free form? You remember the parody that Dan Aykroyd did of Tom Snyder with the cigarette waving and you know? In the mock interview with Mick Jagger. I'm no old fogey, okay? I'm not looking back to our golden past. No. But I don't think we live in a time that would tolerate that kind of conversation. because it's too unstructured, it's too dangerous. And the last thing you can have in a fascist state is dangerous discussion. That's why we're up to our yin-yangs in Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and Britney. Do you disagree? It's for keeping the masses' tiny little minds nice and numb. Because numb minds are quiet minds, and quiet minds are minds that will let the powers that be do what they will or what they deem that they must. Or so it seems to me. So that's where we begin this evening. Now, there's other stuff in the news, national stuff. The New York Times, or the boy, I can't tell what. Yeah, programs, get your programs. Can't tell the mainstream media rag one from the other without a program. I was about to say this from the New York Times, but no, it's from an Associated Press story published on the webpage of the Chicago Tribune. Headline: Justice Roberts in hospital after fall. Chief Justice John Roberts was taken by ambulance to a hospital in Maine on Monday after a fall. Supreme Court spokeswoman Kathy Arberg said she didn't know how he fell or what injuries he might have suffered. That's a little squirrely. Gee, I hope it's nothing painless. So, it is a little bit weird. How Soviet of us. 10-15 years ago, we would have had an idea of what had happened to Chief Justice Roberts the minute he hit the hospital. But now we say things like, we're not sure what happened, until the official story can be ginned up, dummied up, faked up, and frauded up. Don't worry, he'll survive. Well, what? Just kidding. You know, me and Coulter, you know, we say things like that. You know, Ann Coulter says that she hopes somebody will put cyanide in Justice Stevens' creme brulee, and then she gets to say, just kidding! God knows if this program was on radio stations, phones would be ringing off the hook right now with people saying things like, I can't believe he would say something as hateful as, I hope it was nothing painless. Those liberals are mean. I do find it interesting, though, that we, for some reason or another, can't find out what it was. He was taken from his home on Hupper Island, Maine. How charming, he has a summer home in Maine. To the mainland on a private boat, and from there he was transferred to an ambulance. He was conscious and alert when they put him in the rescue vehicle and took him to Penobscot Bay Medical Center. That's it. He was conscious. Jesus, that's all you can say about his job as Chief Justice. Well, he wrote a decision today that proves he was conscious. Mean, but conscious. Hateful, but conscious. Prone to, pardon me, but in light of the fact that Arlen Specter announced last week, nah, he wouldn't throw himself down the stairs or anything just to avert an investigation of perjury, would he? Oh, Agnes says his wife did it. Honey, throw me down the stairs, my hat.
You got it, sweetie.
Go to the phones. Susan's calling from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just great. My first thought on that was, oh, please, please tell me it was fatal.
We are just evil liberals, aren't we?
Yes, I know, I'm evil, but that's not the reason I called in.
Okay.
The reason I called in is because I want to talk about Article 2, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, I don't keep it memorized, but, you know, I'll do my best.
Where it talks about the power of the pardon, which is unlimited, except in one instance.
In cases of impeachment.
You bet your bippy.
Hey, not bad for a guy who doesn't have the copy in front of him, huh?
Right. Now, has it ever occurred to any of these idiot people in Congress that if you impeach Cheney or impeach Gonzo, Bush can't pardon him?
I don't think they care, to be quite honest.
Well, they better.
Yeah, they had. That's I don't think there's any disagreement about that. I think it's almost universally agreed that we wish Congress would care more about impeachment and the incidences that surround it. But
not a wish, Bob. It's a threat. I'd inform my congressman today, Bob, get with the program or you're going to find yourself out of a job. I'm tired of you messing around.
Yeah. David Wu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I told him what I was going to be talking about tonight, his people, and I also told them I'm going to be putting up on the website the equivalent of a want ad. Wanted qualified progressive candidates to challenge incumbent, long-time incumbent.
In primary.
Democrat. In the primaries. Who no longer has any touch with his constituents. I want him gone. If he will not do what he's told, we get rid of him.
I agree. I'm ready to... especially I mean, because, you know, what kind of Republican opposition would Wu have, Susan? I mean, given what your congressional district looks like, what chance does a Republican have of being elected?
Zip.
So, in other words, the decision will be made in the Oregon primary.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to tighten these people up. Yeah. Now it is interesting since you mentioned impeachment. Some House Democrats, as of tomorrow, have you seen this?
No.
As of tomorrow, a group of House Democrats will introduce a resolution calling on the Judiciary Committee to begin impeachment proceedings against Fredo Gonzalez.
Oh, Fred, just stay. Yes.
Representative Jay Inslee, Democrat of Washington, will sponsor the measure. I
need to call him tomorrow and throw myself all over his people and tell them how wonderful they are.
I don't know how many sponsors it has. I don't know if there's. It says a group of House Democrats. Now this is being reported by NBC. It says resolution directing the Committee on the Judiciary to investigate whether Alberto R. Gonzalez, Attorney General of the United States, should be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. Resolved that the Committee on the Judiciary shall investigate fully whether sufficient grounds exist for the House of Representatives to impeach Alberto R. Gonzalez, Attorney General of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors. Boom.
Well, committing perjury in front of a Senate committee, I consider.
Well, have you caught up with the weaselage that's involved with the charge of perjury? I saw this over the weekend, and I went, "Why, that slimy little SOB." Are you familiar with this? You know, he said he didn't go to talk to Ashcroft about the illegal wiretapping program. That it was another program. And, of course, Comey had said, no, it was that program.
And the FBI director also said, that's a crock, he's lying.
However, what is coming out, this was part of the New York Times story over the weekend, Susan, they're saying that, well, he was kind of technically telling the truth because the real sticking point was this program that they had for data mining. And that technically that's not exactly the same thing as the illegal wiretapping program. It was a different one, and whole googles of Department of Justice career attorneys were getting ready to turn in their resignations over this stinker. And it was a program whereby they I guess they played beautiful mind with all of our emails and our IMs and our phone calls. They didn't listen in or look at the content of the messages, but they used who's talking to whom to try to come together and put together this sort of twisted LSD induced web of terrorist contacts by using the Uniblab 10,000 that's buried 15 stories under Washington, D.C. somewhere at the NSA. So it's not exactly the same conversation, but it was. So that's the weasel room.
Okay. Countdown had a discussion with John Dean about exactly that on Friday.
Okay.
According to John Dean, and let's face it, we ought to know, there was a Supreme Court decision that basically said it's not enough that you tell the exact utter truth about one thing if it supports the lie. It's
right.
Still perjury. So if he told the exact total truth about one thing and it makes it support the lie, it's still perjury.
Makes sense to me. Makes perfectly good sense to me.
He and let's face it, this is not something that Bush can veto. The House and the Senate vote on impeachment. If they impeach him, he's gone. And he can never be pardoned. Ever.
I like that idea.
Oh, God, I love it. The thought of Cheney never being pardoned, I like that even better.
Mm-hmm.
That just warms the cockles, my little fat little heart.
Easy. Take it easy on yourself.
Yeah, I thought of that. I practically had an orgasm sitting here in the chair. You know?
the unpardonable impeachment.
Yeah,
never mind an unpardonable sin.
Well, just consider the thought of being eventually able to get them for something.
Right.
Because, yeah, I realize there's no statute of limitations on war crimes. But is the U.S. government going to eventually ever going to be willing to go after them for war crimes? They're going to want to cover up their own complicity.
Yeah, sure. And that's what just drives me nuts, Susan,
yeah.
Is that this is so serious to us, and it means so very much. And if you mention it to somebody inside the Beltway, particularly some member of the Democratic Congress, they'll say, well, you don't understand the nature of politics. We don't have enough time to get this, and it would just tie up Congress. And it's blah. I despise being talked down to, Susan.
Oh.
As do the rest of us.
You want to talk about being talked down to? I was never so disappointed in Barack Obama as I was when he came out with that statement about impeachment.
Impeachment is to be used for serious crimes.
Trashing the Constitution isn't serious? Jesus, where's he been underneath a rock?
Starting wars that are based on lies? Wow.
I want to know what kind of drugs he's on.
I know. Hey, Susan, we got to hit our break, and we're getting thundered at, so I got to at least unplug part of the Comrex. So.
Okay, honey. You have a good day.
All right, you take care.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. We will take a break. If you're on hold, stay that way. I'm just going to try to isolate three lines so that we know that we can't be entirely whacked. We've got there's a couple of lines open for you if you want to jump into the conversation. 304-658-5453. Or 877-443-2366. Either way, get you into the studio here in wild, wonderful West by God, Virginia. and I'm just itching to talk to you. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I wonder how am I still here? I'm Bob Kincaid. And I don't want to move a thing. It might change my memory. Oh, I am what I am. I do what I want. But I can't hide. And I won't go. I won't sleep. I can't breathe until you're resting here with me. And I won't go. And I can't hide. I cannot be until you're resting here with me.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Oh, God help me. There's still a living, breathing teenager inside. I mean, it's banging. You know, when this show goes to video, it's just going to, everything's just going to go to hell. That was fun. Thank you. Thank you for the Van Halen there, Agnes. Let's see. 25 minutes before the hour, we go straight back to the phones in a second. A quick announcement for you. I haven't heard from Strictly Confidential fabulous horn host Peter Godbold in a while. He and Doggy were cowering under the table when last I heard from him. His terrible storms roared through. I just wandered over to weatherunderground.com to take a look at the weather map and see what was going to be hitting. It looks like what was going to hit us, the thunder I heard. You know, we're just conditioned. I hear one clap of thunder and I go bang right on top of the phone unit to keep us from getting whacked with another $650. But you know, into each life some rain must fall and occasionally some thunder must crack. We will be hot with the new highfalutin internet telephone service as of a week from today. We're quite excited to announce. No, I just had to protect at least part of the phone system there when I did hear the thunder rolling through. But what I was saying about Peter Godbold, he is getting just whammied with thunderstorms right now, according to the radar map there that I'm looking at. And also getting whammied with some thunderstorms is our good friend, the trucker, Alan, off on the side of the road somewhere in Oklahoma. You there, Alan?
Yeah, it looks like I'm in a submarine. It's raining so hard out here, I pulled over into a rest stop.
Yeah, there's some of that stuff you just can't drive through.
Yeah, I don't like to do it if I don't have to. Besides, I don't have a heavy load, so it can blow me around.
Right.
And also have hazmat, so that wouldn't be good.
No, all of that conspires to say, Alan, get off the road.
That's right. Be safe. Yeah. Hey, I called to tell you that I downloaded the latest MP3 file or podcast from Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And they interviewed Emily Lyons, who got injured in that abortion clinic bombing in Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
And it was an interesting interview, but I learned something new about that situation that I never knew before, that when that policeman went over to that package, it looked like a bomb. Eric Rudolph himself was across the road hiding in bushes, and when that policeman came close to that package, he hit a button or something that made that bomb go off and killed that policeman.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And he has gotten life in prison. He didn't...
Yeah, well, this is... Yeah, remember, this is a right-wing terrorist, so naturally... And the Bush Justice Department, and that's the thing. Everything this Justice Department has done for the last 7 years, or 6 years, whatever, six and a half, is under scrutiny now. It is subject to scrutiny. It is subject to our disbelief, our incredulity. There's no doubt in my mind that the word came down from on high from the Bush administration not to pursue the death penalty against Eric Rudolph, because when you get right down to it, these murderous SOBs are the darlings of the right-wing so-called Christian evangelical industry. They won't say it up front, but they pray for them and they root for them every night for another one of these to rise from the streets and set fire to America.
Yes, and I belong to Amnesty International. I'm always getting messages from them about people who receive the death sentence and they haven't had proper legal help and such, and there's a good chance they might be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this guy who's just obviously guilty, and he gets off.
Oh yeah, and what's more, now in prison, I don't know if this lady mentioned it in the interview that you heard, but this evil so and so is out there actively taunting his victims now from prison, and nobody will do anything about it.
Yeah, she mentioned that. It's a pretty good interview. She says that other people fill her in on what's going on with that. From a website, from I think it's called the Army of God.
Yeah.
Website. That's some sick people.
Yeah, they are. But the thing is, what we they're sick people, but they're not that far different from your average right-wing fundamentalist. Most of the fundamentalists just sit there and don't talk about it quite so broadly, but they have, you know, if you catch them talking amongst themselves, they'll say, well, you know, it's not like he didn't have a reason to do that, which is just creepy when you get right down to it.
Yeah, it's creepy because for a person to think that God gives them the right to go kill another person, that's just sickening.
Well, Alan, have you seen Max Blumenthal and Thomas Shoemaker's latest video from where they went to the Christians United for Israel conference?
No, but I'd like to see that.
If you go over to, I found it at Huffington Post. If you go over there and just search for Max Blumenthal, you'll see the link to it. It's not a terribly long video, but boy, is talk about a bright light being shown under a rock. These are some dangerously, dangerously creepy people, and they're all of the same sort. You know, well, we're waiting for Armageddon to come, and then everything's going to be wonderful as their eyes melt out in their sockets. Oh my heavens! You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay to destroy the earth and have wars and all that stuff because Jesus is going to come. But what's going to happen when they destroy this planet and no Jesus is going to come? I guess they'll turn around and start fighting each other or something.
They always find an excuse. But if you watch this thing, I think you'll just be horrified. And Wednesday evening on the program, we're going to have the videographer Thomas Shoemaker on and talk a little bit about maybe some of the stuff that he saw that didn't quite make it to the video. These are some of the most disturbing, dangerous, distressing, dare I say, disgusting people in America today.
And his name is Max Blumenthal, the guy who made this movie.
Yeah, Max Blumenthal. If you just if you just search there at the Huffington Post for his name, you'll see the post that the movie is in. It will just blow you away. To think that there are people, there's a scene in there where an American soldier in full battle kit goes walking up to the stage. He climbs the stairs to the stage and he turns and faces an Israeli soldier and snaps him a salute while the Israeli soldier is kneeling with a prayer shawl over his head. Wow.
Yeah, that is weird. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Alan. You stay safe, and you know, I hope the rain passes soon. But I was looking at the radar. I wouldn't hold my breath if I was you.
Okay, and I'm gonna go look up that movie because I appreciate you telling me about it.
I'd be curious to see what you think about it after you've seen it.
Okay, I'll tell you.
All right, thanks, Alan. You take care now.
You too.
Bye bye. Our good friend Alan out on the road, pulled over at the rest area somewhere in Oklahoma. Don't know if he's near Bart Cop country or not. Hey, Bart published a little note I sent him. It's in there today. You know, I always feel like Steve Martin in, the new phone book's here, I'm somebody. Yeah, the jerk. That's me. Why can't I remember that? The jerk. We'll talk about it later, but Senator Clinton came to West by God, Virginia, on Friday, and you'll hear. This is radio, not TV, Bob, you boob. Let's go to the phones. David's joining us from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Tonight's cultural reference is brought to you by Pogo Ball. When pogoing on a stick isn't enough, you were playing Van Halen.
Yeah.
And here's a little tidbit for you. Running with the Devil, the title of that was inspired by Ohio Players lyric.
Really?
Probably. Which, if you think about it, which was probably inspired by Sly Stone, Thank You for Letting my Be Myself Again.
Yeah.
Because
I remember the Ohio Players very well.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize this, but Leroy Bonner, Sugarfoot, one of the greatest guitarists ever in music history.
Wow.
Amazing.
With the Ohio Players.
Yeah, amazing. But and here's something that people don't realize. Now we're going to get culturally deep. Sly Stone's guitar style, a lot of people don't pick up on this, and they say, oh, that sounds like Sly. But if you really want to go back to it, Sly was listening to Ray Charles, and guess what guitarist he was listening to?
Tell me.
Johnny Guitar Watson. And they were friends in the 70s, so it all comes back full circle, people.
Oh, that's just wild.
Yeah. Anyways, on to something else. That was just a little education for people.
Okay.
Anyways, another person that died, I don't know if you heard about this one, but you didn't mention Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah, I did mention Ingmar Bergman.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we got the trifecta real quick. Tom Snyder, Ingmar Bergman, and Bill Walsh. You know, because they come in threes, just like.
That's good. And you were saying that conversations that don't take place on the TV. I would beg to differ with you. Nobody mentions this in Progressive, and they should start because this is it's almost the end of his second season. But Henry Rollins is doing an amazing job.
Well, okay, I've had some people. In fact, I had someone write to Henry and suggest that somebody from the Horn be brought on the program, and I thought that was really, really cool and very kind of them to write and ask that. I don't get a chance to see Henry
I think what's going to happen is eventually you'll start to see it on downloads on the internet eventually, and maybe video Google when they get into their third season. It's still building an audience. I don't know why it's not out there like other shows like Showtime.
What network's it on?
IFC.
Okay. Okay. Independent Film Channel.
Yeah, Henry takes a great. The way his show starts out is he does a little dialogue monologue about the things that are angering him for the week. It's like a 2 or 3 minute thing, and then he goes right into his guest, and it's really a uncensored type of talk in a really relaxed fashion. And this week's guest was Russell Simmons, and that's the. And if you can find it, that's an impressive one to listen to right there. Russell has a lot to say about a lot of things happening, about the culture and the culture of that we live in, and why he wants to. He said something really smart. He said he wants to ban the word nigger from the radio, and this is what he said. See, Russell thinks 10 steps ahead of everybody, in case people don't know. He was the founder of Def Jam, which ushered in the whole hip-hop culture movement.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Bob, a lot of people aren't familiar with Russell Simmons. The interesting thing about it is that Russell Simmons was talking about how Henry Rollins wanted to know, why is it that you want to ban the word nigger on the radio? And he's like, Henry, he goes, I know people are going to get upset about this. He goes, but here's why. He goes, this is going to be the first step that people are going to go to hip-hop. And he says, and if you go to this radio, they're going to give you an excuse to put the lock on this culture. They're going to go straight to that, he said. So we have to change ourselves. And if we don't, he goes, it's just going to continue. They're going to continue putting the lockdown on everything in the industry. And it brings up a valid point that really you have to think about things in the future.
Well, I understand it, and there's some precedent for that as well, David, because if you think back to who did Cop Killer? Come on, help me here.
Ice-T, Body Count.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was just a media frenzy, an absolute orgy of, you know, oh, would you look at those spooky people with their spooky music and their rap music, and now they're talking about killing our good, decent policemen. And they tried to demonize, they tried to demonize it that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's there's been there's been a constant assault on it, similar to, it's the same old thing. You know, what I said about punk rock earlier. It's going to be the end of the civilization.
Right, right.
And, of course, when Elvis first hit, whether it was a Louisiana hayride or whatever, little you know, white daddies telling their white boys and white girl children all across the I don't want you listening to none of that race music. It's going to be the end of Western civilization. And but you know, but it doesn't end there, because way back in say 1923, when little girls were getting very androgynous bobbed haircuts and wearing the scandalously short dresses, their mothers and fathers, who were Victorians after all, at the tail end of the Victorian, this flapper business and this loud jazz music is going to be the end of civilization. It's un-American, I tell you. Every generation is terrified of what the next generation's up to.
I agree with you. I think the end of civilization is restriction after restriction after restriction.
Yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, the end of civilization is going on.
Oh.
But it ain't in the music.
Well, when you listen to Ashley Simpson, I might beg to differ.
Well, okay. I mean, you know, there's an exception to every rule.
Oh, speaking of that.
Have you seen Idiocracy?
I thought it was funny. I thought Mike Judge did a good job with it. And I think, you know, they cut the... We talked about it. I brought it up to you.
Mm.
And I was telling you how I think, you know, they did Mike Judge wrong on it because they didn't want to promote it. And maybe it wasn't...
Well, I can see now, because, you know, I'm a little Osley on the uptake, as far as movies are concerned. But I can see now why they didn't want to promote it, because it had... Judge used some pretty scandalous overt racial stereotypes.
Did you ever read that article where he's talking about the making that movie and working on King of the Hill, and why he's like that guy with the red stapler and Office Space that I referenced on this show? Something?
Yeah, I did.
You did read that article?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mike Judge is Mike Judge is in the same boat we are, except he has lots of money. I mean, he always has to, you know, answer to another boss, and to do what he wants to do, he has to continue to battle every single day, and become something he doesn't want to become. And because he's in that structure system, I can understand why he's why he doesn't want to do a lot of things that he has to be like a Hanna-Barbera empire or something.
Yeah,
and I could understand why he didn't even fight for the Idiocracy for Fox Searchlight to put it out in the theaters. I think he just realized that, well, I just better concentrate on my show. And I think Fox really did have something to. I think Fox punished him because of he wasn't a whore. He said, "Oh, you don't want to promote this film. You don't want to change things. Well, guess what? We're not putting it out. It's going straight to DVD, and I don't care who's in it."
Right.
And you know, it's a lesson to be learned, that even our biggest mavericks and our biggest rebels, there's always something else behind the curtain.
Well, then there's always somebody that can lower the boom, David.
That's true.
It turns out I reported that, and I mean, I was just going by the news story. I didn't report. I'm not a reporter. But I shared the information that Michael Moore was saying he had been subpoenaed. As of the weekend, he had not been subpoenaed, but the Department of Commerce had sent inquiries to Michael Moore's lawyer saying, you know, who can we serve the subpoena on? And see, this isn't, you know, they're not worried about whether he spent 10 cents on a Cuban pulled pork sandwich while they were getting treated down, while those 9/11 workers were getting treated there. This is about because these guys are heavy-handed, ham-fisted thugs, David, and this is about trying to quell Michael Moore's right to free speech. Not with what he's already done, but the next time when whoever finds its way into his viewfinder next, you know, he'll think twice about going after them, because now he is officially pissed off the gun industry, the healthcare and pharmaceutical lobby, and the Bush family.
Well, personally, I think with the age of loose change and a lot of these low budget documentaries, I think the Photoshop and all of these types of documentaries, they've opened the door to a whole different franchise. And I think basically Michael Moore and people of like Robert Greenwald, a lot of people have to take the lead and make the same kind of films that loose change and all that and not worry about the quality so much and who's distributing it and what, because look at the numbers the loose change got. Look at the numbers what Alex Jones gets, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people get, but the quality, I don't have the... You know what? Don't worry about that, because right now people care about messages. I'll put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Look at South Park. Look at Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Look at the cartoons on Adult Swim. They proved everybody wrong.
Yeah, crappiest animation on the planet.
It's really rustic and rough, and they put it out there, and they said, hey, you know, this is...
But both of those are vehicles for the writing. Those are writing driven pieces.
That's what I mean. But in the documentary, if you have a strong subject and a strong message, I don't understand why people don't. A lot of people still don't understand. Don't get this, but you don't really need anything except a computer and a Photoshop and a microphone to make a documentary if you have something to say and a vision.
And certainly that becomes even more true in the age of YouTube and one of my particular favorites, Go Left TV.
Go Left TV, I haven't seen anything on Go Left TV, but I got to tell you, Video Google has opened the door for so many, and archive.org has opened the door for so many filmmakers.
That's true, and Video Google does something that YouTube won't do, and that is to allow longer clips to be posted.
You know, that's going to be, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but I think of YouTube as like the ADD for, media.
Well, when our good friend John Fox started experimenting with the process, bless his heart, he volunteered to be the guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to put his whole show, you know, an hour of radio, the video of it, up on Google. On the other hand, 9 minutes tops at YouTube, so that you're put into a position of, you know, my God, a 1 hour program, you've got to chop it into 9 minute segments. What a pain in the ass.
And let's also remember the guy who did Zeitgeist.
He put
up his unfinished film, and he just let people watch it. Where a lot of studios, they get nervous at that kind of thing. But
these guys are also operating under a different premise. They're going to sell their films individually, you know, just like Dave Von Kleist did last week when we had him on about 9/11 ripple effect. He's not going to show that in theaters. He doesn't. If it's shown in a theater, he wants it to be shown by somebody who's paid for the movie and then, or been given a copy of the movie, doesn't matter, and then, you know, you flash it on the screen at the local library theater or whatever. This is a model that is a radical departure from the studio make a mint model.
I can only see these types of documentaries getting more and more interactive.
But it's not, David, let's not make the mistake, it's not just documentaries.
Oh, and movies, too. I mean, media in general, it's going to get more interactive and dimensional. And, you know, and with that comes the price that we have to pay, which is, taking research and exhaustive content and putting something to it rather than just have a dancing. Once again, my symbolism for pop culture is Ashley Simpson. You can't just have a dancing Ashley Simpson, which brings me to my last thing that I wanted to mention to you. On the same note, I think a good guest to have would be I don't know if you've seen the trailers for Before the Music Dies yet. Oh man, it's about the music industry and where we're at in the 21st century and how it's affected our culture in general. And there's a great scene where this guy goes to an Ashley Simpson concert, the director, and he asks some of the people, he goes, what does Ashley Simpson make you want to do after you listen to her music? And the girl looks blankly at the camera and says, nothing. And, you know, that's a powerful.
I feel like I'm on such a slippery slope, though, David. When I get into this conversation, because I know that I sound like an old fogey. I'm 44 years old. I don't feel like a fogey, okay?
Right.
But I know I've got to sound like one, because you know when that clip of John Lydon talking to Tom Snyder, you know, the former Johnny Rotten, and he says, "Well, we set out to kill rock and roll, but the brain-dead masses didn't get it now, did they?" No, John, they didn't, buddy. They didn't. And as a but that's unfair to say that Ashley Simpson is somehow representative of the music that's out there.
I think he was saying as the bulk, the hulk of it, kind of.
Well, corporate, stuff. You know, when the Sex, who was hot when the Sex Pistols came along? Journey. Styx,
yeah, he,
REO Speedwagon.
He was using his model as the. He wanted to ask them if they knew Bob Dylan. That was one of the things he said.
Yeah.
And he asked it. He said, and then he asked the question: does Ashley Simpson inspire you to do anything? And then it really talks. You know what? There's another scene in it, but that's really really impressive. He talks about one of the co-writers with Jewel who didn't get the proper credit.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I just met this woman. He goes, and we just started writing a song called "You Were Meant for Me." And then they ask him, and he's like, he goes, so you can write a song literally on the spot about anything, and you don't have to have a 13-year-old perspective. He's like, nope. And they ask him something, and he just starts singing, and it's obvious, you know, that you're not. It's not being genuine anymore. Whereas
none of corporatized rock and roll and corporatized country, for that matter, has any genuineness about it. You've got to go out there and you've got to wander around MySpace and you've got to hit the indie pages and frankly read something like No Depression, you know, the best alt music magazine out there, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to hear where people are really pushing the envelope of music.
I was just listening to the new Martin Sexton record.
See?
Have you heard it yet?
No.
You got to listen to it.
But you're out there looking for it. This is, you know, this is a different era. I mean, whether it was Spin magazine or Rolling Stone, all that stuff, it's harder and harder to find.
Oh, I agree with you. It's harder and harder to find it, and I pity some of the people just being born now, having to sift through all of this garbage and all of this feedback that you just have to sit there and go, okay, so what is good? Who's genuine? What is this person? What is this artist about?
I tell you what, just as a for instance,
yeah.
Down in my hometown, great little band called the Fiddleworms.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bump out on the way out with a song of theirs called Tension. And it's just, you know, they're a jam band, but they're musically tight, and frankly, there's as good as anything you're going to hear on the radio. Of course, then again, there's another dying medium. David, we got to get out of here, my friend.
No problem,
Agnes is going to make me play
that,
the news.
Keep that name on your the tip of your tongue for a guest, the director of Before the Music Dies. He would be really interesting to talk to.
Okay, will do.
All right, later, Bob.
Later, David.
Peace.
Bye now. Our pop culture correspondent, David, calling from Maine. He's always got something good for us. Like I said, these are the Fiddleworms. Tension. Think you'll enjoy it. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Taliban leaders claim they have killed a South Korean hostage, one of 23 Christian aid workers abducted by Islamic militants, because the Afghan government let a deadline pass without releasing Taliban prisoners from its jails. The report remains unconfirmed until a body is provided. Afghan officials say intelligence reports indicate that two hostages may have been killed. 10 Afghans working for a U.S. security company were killed in an ambush today in southern Afghanistan. The attack occurred on the same highway on which those South Koreans were kidnapped more than a week ago. In his first official meeting with President Bush as Britain's prime minister, Gordon Brown reaffirmed today his country's continuing military presence in Iraq. Meantime, the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq says a large contingent of troops will be needed in the country until mid-2009. If that timeline is kept, that means the Iraq war would pass to President Bush's successor. Today, the Pentagon announced three U.S. soldiers have been killed during combat operations in the Anbar province. A car bomb in a Baghdad market killed six people today and wounded 12. 52 other Iraqis died in sectarian attacks today throughout the country. As many as seven people were killed and 50 wounded by stray bullets when thousands of Iraqis took to the streets to celebrate the country's soccer victory in the Asian Cup tournament. Iraqi Parliament adjourned for the month of August today. A report released by the U.S. Inspector General monitoring Iraqi reconstruction, highly critical of the government's management of funding and projects. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Chief Robert Gates head to the Middle East today to hold a series of talks with allies meant to help improve security. The two also bring governments there billions of dollars in military aid deals. In the Gaza Strip, Palestinians who fled during battles between Hamas and Fatah weeks ago began returning to their homes today. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas asked for Russia's support in his feud with rival faction Hamas for control over the Palestinian territories. Former San Francisco 49er head coach Bill Walsh died of leukemia today at the age of 75. Late night talk show host Tom Snyder also passed away in San Francisco yesterday. Snyder was 71. A look at science and business news just ahead.
What are you doing?
Fertilizing the lawn. Do you want to help?
No, not really. But didn't you just do that last week?
Yeah, I did. I want the lawn to be really lush and green this year.
Dad, what happens when those sprinklers come on?
We give the grass a good long drink.
That water runs off with the fertilizer in it and gets into the bay, where it can harm the fish.
So what should I do?
Use just the minimum recommended amount. The lawn will be just as green, and you'll be saving our ocean.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Hello, I'm CHP Officer Felix Isararas. Law enforcement officers throughout the state are committed to removing drunk drivers from California roadways before they kill or injure themselves, or worse, an innocent victim. Right now, local law enforcement and the CHP are conducting DUI checkpoints to find drunk drivers and keep California roads safe.
Always designate a sober driver. And if you see a drunk driver on the road, call 911. A message from the Office of Traffic Safety and California Highway Patrol.
Diabetes drug Avandia should be pulled from the market, according to federal health officials. The drug has been linked to an increased risk of heart attack. Researchers have identified two genes they think may increase the risk of contracting multiple sclerosis. It is the first major gene discovery in the field in two decades. A controversial new study released yesterday in London says global warming is contributing to an increase in the number and ferocity of Atlantic hurricanes. Number of hurricanes per season has doubled over the last 100 years. Sara Lee recalling 27 whole wheat flour products because they may contain small bits of metal. Most of the products distributed across the southern states under 13 different brand names. Defense contractor Lockheed Martin announced a 34% surge in quarterly profit, fueled by revenues earned as a result of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Northwest Airlines canceled more than 500 flights over the weekend in a dispute with pilots who say they're being asked to fly too many hours a month. Federal restrictions mandate 1,000 flying hours annually. Light sweet crude oil trading at $76.83. That's down 19 cents. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 92 points at 13,358. NASDAQ up 21 points. S&P 500 up 15. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, my God, did you hear that? Sara Lee is recalling its whole wheat products. What, 27 varieties of whole wheat products? Because they contain a little shards of metal? You know, at what point do we look up and say, you know, we turned the entire food grid over to corporate America, and corporate America, as with everything they touch, has screwed up again? When are we going to say that? Or do we just sit here and, well, you know, 13 people died from poop on spinach this week. And, you know, a month later, 15 people are bleeding from their bodily orifices from poisoned peanut butter. And a month later, a 3-year-old kid died from eating an undercooked hamburger because it was processed next to poop. Let's see, spinach, peanut butter, hamburger, and hamburger just kind of comes and goes because, you know, it's all processed in those industrial feedlots where cattle stand up to their udders in dew. And, let's see, spinach, peanut butter, ground beef, dog food, wheat gluten, toothpaste, baby food, mother's milk is full of rocket fuel. At what point in time or are we just so damn lazy that we don't care anymore? But every time I hear a story about hunks of metal in food, I can't help but, Sherman, set the Wayback Machine for Mickey D's when all the Kincaid babies were little. Yes, 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 we've been to Mickey D's. Who hasn't been to Mickey D's? And way back when, it was easy. Agnes and I, and wee tiny Margie, and wee tiny Ferg, and wee tiny Doodle, were all sitting at McDonald's one sunny afternoon because they had a play place, and our children threatened to riot if we ever drove past a McDonald's with a play place without stopping. Oh, it's insidious, I tell you. It's insidious. And so, you know, we get them their Happy Meals with their Chicken McNuggies. Oh, my God, baby talk. I've forgotten all that. And, of course, the kids are sitting there vibrating like 440A struck tuning forks. I want to go to the play place. I want to go to the play place. Honey, eat your lunch first.
No. I want to go to the play place. I won't eat anymore until I go to the play place. I won't eat.
Okay. And so, recognizing that we were whipped, we gave in. All right, go play. To take your shoes off. You got to take your shoes off to go to the play place. And so there was Ferg's Chicken McNuggets. And, yeah, one leftover. And Agnes reaches over and gets it. And takes a bite and screams in pain. Yeah, you did. I was there. And there was swearing involved, yes. Agnes wants you all to know what a hard ass she is.
No, I'm not.
She swore. She didn't scream in pain. She swore. Okay, she swore in pain. And she's going, oh.
Okay. You know, you can't talk real well when your mouth is hurting.
And she reaches up into her mouth. And pulls out a little hunk of shrapnel. I mean, come on, it was shrapnel for all intents and purposes. A little needle-like shard of metal that had been contained in that Chicken McNugget. And suffice to say, no one's eaten a Chicken McNugget since. But you can't help but ask yourself, what happens if the little boy eats that? Because it was razor sharp. And I'm sure nobody in the production line in Kuala Lumpur or wherever McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are made, or were made, I'm sure nobody just threw that in. It's some part of the industrial food process that has sheared off along the way and mixed into the goo that becomes, you know, parts is parts, a chicken McNugget. This is the industrial food grid. Welcome to it. And we seem to be pretty content with it, because nobody's out there rioting in the streets. Hell, they won't riot in the streets over the Iraq War. They're not going to riot. People, Americans aren't going to riot in the streets over poop on spinach or poop in hamburger or poop in peanut butter or poison in toothpaste or wheat gluten or dog food or baby food. You know, it's too much work to riot in the streets. It's too much work to protest. It's too much work to complain. It's much better to be good little fascists and stay at home and hope that one of your loved ones isn't the one who dies from the poison food. Do you realize that more Americans have been killed by poisoned corporate food in the last year than have been killed by terrorists? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? But we don't have a war on poison food. We do, however, have a war on terror. More people are killed by lightning every year than are killed by terrorists inside the United States. We don't have a war on lightning, but we have a war on terror. More people are killed by accidental handgun discharges in the United States than are killed by terrorists. But we don't have a war on accidental handgun discharges. Quite the contrary, quite the opposite. We have a burgeoning handgun industry fostered by the National Republican Rifle Association. More people are killed every year by doctor negligence, but we don't have a war on doctors. Quite the contrary, every time a legislature sits down, the United States Chamber of Commerce and the insurance industry are there to pass out $100 handshakes and say, you know, we got a medical malpractice crisis that was brought about by the dirty old trial lawyers. Jesus. It's almost enough to make you think they're putting something in the water, like, you know, bad acid. No, because there's a news story out. The fine folks at PepsiCo on their bottles of Aquafina water are now going to have to put quite the contrary on the labels of their bottles, to wit, that there's nothing special about their water. They opened the tap and filled the bottle, just like you open the tap and fill your cup, and you've been getting defrauded for years. It's not Aquafina, it's Aquafrauda. But that's okay. It's in a plastic bottle that's made out of the carcinogenic petroleum distillates. But Americans, being not the sharpest knives in the drawer sometimes, think that because they can see the water inside the bottle or see through the water inside the bottle, that somehow it's better than what comes out of their tap at home, so they'll pay extra for it. Somewhere along the way, we've got to work a reference to W.C. Fields into the national anthem. And the home of the brave, don't smarten up a chump. Agnes hates it when I sing. Let's go talk to Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, I want to ask you a question. And, you know, I want to ask the world a question. It's a simple question. You know, what destroyed the Roman Empire?
The Romans.
No.
Yeah.
Bread and circuses. Bread and circuses. And that's what we've become. They've turned us into a circus. And they, you know, they are controlling the bread. Yeah.
Sure.
And the bread is tainted, but we don't know. We're just so interested in the circuses. We're all so enamored with, was it Paris Hilton and all that other
Lindsay
stuff.
Lindsay Lohan and...
Whatever comes out, right? Am I correct? Am I telling...
Oh, yeah, you are. I mean,
fact?
And the fact, you know, there was something telling. I remember talking with somebody, it was a couple of years ago, But I was in my, and I love to bake bread.
But Bob.
And so I was saying, you know, I baked some bread the other day, and they said, do you have a bread machine? And I said, yeah, it's called my oven.
My oven.
I put the water and the flour and a little bit of sugar and maybe some oil, and I sit there and I work it with my hands and I knead it, and, you know, it's great. It's great for forearm strength, you know, kneading that dough. You ever seen a baker, a real baker? They've got forearms like Papa.
You and I have become the goddamn circus. Excuse my friend.
Well, wait a minute. How is that?
Because we are speaking, we're talking about things that have very little relevance. They have very little relevance. They do not, you know, they have nothing that can make a difference. All we speak about is what is correct and truthful and peaceful and loving and caring, right?
Yeah.
But it isn't that what we have to do. It's that ugly thing that we don't even want to think about. We have to take to the streets. We have to bang our kettles together. We have to stand up like they did way back when.
Okay, I'm not being obtuse, Bob, but we have to do that in order to... What's the purpose? Why are we doing it?
Give our children a chance to tell them to fight.
I thought that was going to be your answer, and the reason I asked it, again, not to be a smartass or anything.
Well, you're always a smartass. Nah, you're smarter than I am.
But the reason I asked the question, Bob, is to point out that, you know, we know that there is no such thing as a culture of life in this country. You know, the people who are out there protesting abortion clinics can't be bothered to protest in front of a Sara Lee plant or a Castleberry's meat plant, or to protest for that matter in front of the Food and Drug Administration or the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
No, but
to demand more meat inspectors.
But they will protest against you know, they'll have this, you brought the boy's name up. He was a boy. He was a boy toy of the administration. What was his name? Timothy McVeigh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, Eric Rudolph.
Yeah. Oh, same difference, is it not?
Yeah, same terrorist, different day.
Same terrorist, different day. That's the problem with us, Bob. We think it's their problem. It's our problem. It's my problem. It's your problem. It's everything to do with us. We have to take a different tact. We have to get after them real hard in the Senate, in the Congress, in the United States of America. Either we fight for this nation and we take it back and give it to our children and tell them, we messed up. We made a bad mistake. We allowed Richard Nixon to get off with just what? He resigned. He should have been imprisoned for what he had done. And so all these Haldermans and Ehrlichmans and these Eichmans and these Yeichmans and these Zeitgeists and these filthy, filthy Nazis that have overcome the United States of America. It's only 200 years old. It's not much more than that. It's not 1,000 years old. It's just been born. So are you a newborn nation? The people of America... so cowardly that you're going to sit on your fat behinds and allow this nation to be taken down because you're afraid? Because you fear what? Bush? You fear what? Cheney? You fear what's this little boy? This little puppet they have in the what is that?
Gonzalez?
Huh?
Gonzalez?
Gonzalez, yes. This Gonzalez, yeah. You're afraid of the Mexicans? We took them on. Didn't we? Huh? Didn't we go to Mexico and destroy their...
Well, you said a few minutes ago, Bob, you said a few minutes ago that, you know, we're kind of the circus, and I think I understand what you're talking about.
See,
with that regard.
We
now,
are
wait.
In a circus, Bob, and we haven't got the courage, but I do. Like I told you the other day, they'll have to kill this old boy.
But I'm they're not... But Bob, Bob, please understand something. They don't want to kill you. They don't want to kill me. They don't want to kill hardly any of us. It's much easier to ignore us.
Oh, easy to ignore, but...
Absolutely, it's easy to ignore.
Bob.
You know, I've said it before, we get a million people on a Saturday in Washington, D.C. on the mall saying, you know, hey, ho, ho, hey, time for Bush to go away and all of that crap. And they're gone by Sunday, and all of the power brokers and all the powers that be in Washington weren't there in the first place, didn't care, and they can ignore it.
The thing is, you can stop them in a heartbeat. Just don't pay them. Don't pay your electric bill. Hey, what are they going to do? Shut your electric off?
Would be yes.
Go back to the 1860s. Go on out there and... farm your land if you got some. You don't got no land. Well, hey, you worried about the cities? The cities are going to shut down? They won't shut down because they can't shut down. If they shut down the cities, then the nation dies. But we're dying right now. We're dying in little bits and pieces. I got a letter that the Hughes Network,
I'm
listening to you right now.
Yeah, HughesNet.
Hughes Network is kind of like the...
It's a satellite-based ISP, isn't it?
Yeah, ISP satellite thing. And guess what? They just got bought out by a bunch of guys from Dubai.
The Sultanate of Dubai.
Dubai, the Saudi...
United Arab Emirates.
Arab Emirates. They got bought out, and they don't exist anymore. Hughes is dead. He's been dead for many, many years, but, you know, the name Hughes is going to be gone shortly. There's going to be this SATCOM. SATCOM is what they call it. And it took over this whatever connection we have, and soon they will listen to me, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we'll have to get rid of that boy. Hey, I'm just one in a billion, okay? They can't get rid of us all. They got control of the satellites. They got control of the nation. They got control of the purse strings. They play Monopoly with your money every day. They just, they play you for a fool because they think you are one. But, Bob, you're not a fool. You've never been a fool. But you are duped. You're not a stupid man.
I'm not duped, Bob. I'm not duped at all.
But you're duped. You're being led down.
No, I know I'm being... I know where the con is. I see the con.
You've been... we're all conned. I'm conned. You're conned. We're all conned. The whole world has been conned by these people. And it's time that we see them for what they are. It's time that we look.
We do, Bob. We see them for what they are. We know them for what they are.
Okay.
We can spot it. We know what fascist smells like.
They are fascist, Bob. They are the Nazis. They're the same Nazis. Hey, Prescott Bush.
Listen, I listened to the BBC report from, I guess, a week ago, where they went into the National Archives and they uncovered the testimony of Smedley Butler. Who was approached to lead a 500,000-man army to lead a coup to dispossess Franklin Roosevelt of the White House in 1933. It's all there. It was backed by an organization. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. But lo and behold, the organization was funded by the Heinz family and all the Colgates and all the great industrial families. And lo and behold, Bob, right smack dab in the middle of them was Prescott Bush. Prescott Bush, Bob.
How many people realize that these are the same Bushes as that Prescott Bush?
Anybody who bothered to listen, it's not who realizes, it's who heard it.
No, see,
we don't have journalists in America to do that kind of grunt work anymore.
True.
It's not who would recognize the name Bush, because they made it very clear. The grandfather of the current sitting president. They say it in the report. It's you can't not realize that. But nobody's hearing it. Because it's on the BBC.
Why? Because we have no control over mainstream media. The only media we got is this media. You and me and a bunch of other people. Like Susan out there in Washington or Oregon or wherever the heck she's from. But I love that lady. And you and me and the people of this nation that understand what we're talking about. They don't know anything. All they know is that you tell facts, nothing but the facts. And the mainstream media gives you nothing but, okay, the bat guano, okay?
Yeah.
Bat squeeze. They don't tell you the facts. They tell you something that you don't need to know.
Bob, there are 300 million people in this country. I'm not reaching 1% of them.
I know that, Bob.
All right.
You're only reaching, just a few of us, right? And I'm reaching, goodness gracious, you?
But, no, I mean, I'm not just talking about me, Bob. I'm talking whether it's...
How many people on...
Anybody talking facts. Whether it's our good friend Malloy and the Drobnys over at Nova M or Air America or the Horn or Stephanie Miller or our good friend Tony Truppiano, Tom Hartman, any of these folks. They
just mentioned everybody that I support.
Yeah, God love you for it.
Everybody that I care for, everybody that has nothing but the goodness in their heart to say, I'll fight, I'll stand, I'll do what's necessary to
But Bob, let me point out the problem, if I may.
Okay.
The problem here is that those people I just mentioned, from Malloy and Nova M and the Drobnys, the Horn, everyone else, we're all reaching people who want to be reached.
Okay?
We're reaching people who are hungry for information.
Okay.
This
That's
is a
true,
this is,
Bob,
wait,
That's
Bob
true.
please, I've let you go for a little bit. Let me talk, okay? We're reaching people who want to be reached. We're reaching people who are hungry for information. I'll be brutally honest, okay? We're not getting the job done. We're not creating the change until we start reaching people who don't necessarily want to be reached, who aren't out there searching for information, who aren't, in Malloy's words, truth seekers. Okay?
Yeah. That
we're not reaching those people because those people don't want to be reached. Those people want to watch American Idol. They want to watch America's Got Talent. They want to watch Fox News. They're scared to death of the world they live in, so they want to watch Bill O'Reilly. Now, a lot of this...
My wife's therapist here, I just gave her a couple of books here recently, and I told her, I said, read these, and then we'll have a conversation. I'll give you something with some real information in it, and you can read it for yourself, and then you can look in the back. It has those postscripts and those little bitty things here you can find that the actual
So in other words, what you've tried to do with this individual is to reach someone who didn't necessarily want to be reached.
That is
laudable, Bob. That's where this has to go.
All have to do. You got to take it to them. You got to take it to them. Take them the facts. Give them a book that they can read, and then tell them, look in the back of this one. This one about Bush. There's no bibliography. There's no facts. It's somebody's supposition. But if you take this book that I'm going to give you, that has John Dean's book, or I passed out so many, I could give you several references to books that I have read that have bibliographies, and they have facts, and you can go back and check the actual documents to find out whether they're telling you the facts or they're telling you another spin story. And if you find something, anything that the Bush administration has put out, any one of the Bush books that has a bibliography and facts behind it, send it to me, and I'll read it, and if it has one fact in anything that the Bush administration, the Gonzales and the Dick Cheney administration has ever put out that has a one fact behind it, then I'll kiss your patoot.
Okay, well,
kiss it until fill my mouth.
Nah,
whatever,
don't be graphic and ooky, okay?
No, I'm just telling you.
I know, I know, Bob.
One thing. Okay.
But you're trying to reach people.
I am.
We're trying to reach people. I see little signs of change. We had a conservative of some sort wander along here not too long back. And you know what? I want that person listening. I know that there are people, say, and I've said it, I don't want any conservatives on my program. I don't feel like arguing. I'm sick to death of them. They don't have an original thought in their heads. All of which is true.
Yeah.
However, if there's one piece of information out there that they can go, you know, he's a liberal, that means he's a liar, but that's kind of disturbing about, he's right, it's a corporate food supply, and the corporate food supply keeps getting poisoned, maybe he's not lying about that one.
Okay.
Yeah, because they think they've been told for years and years and years, oh, well, you know, they're liberals and they can't tell the truth, and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the way the right-wing machine works. We are beginning to fight back. We're beginning to put facts out there. You know, God bless people like the Center for American Progress and Media Matters for America and Buzzflash and WD40.com.
WD40. And, oh, I love that.
There are guys, man. Dookie the webmaster got Dookie, quoted at Bart Cop today.
Mama's putting food on the.
Okay, attaboy. Go eat dinner. Bon appetit,
hey,
Bob.
Bob, I just want to say one thing.
All right.
Before I go off the air and I disappear forever, I just want you to know, hey, I'm not afraid. I told you. The little mind killer is.
And you set a bold and brilliant example, Bob. Do not be afraid. Remain unafraid and be that example.
We only
What's for supper?
Have to fear fear itself. And if you're afraid of fear, then you are the little
But that's the nature of the process. Yeah, we had that discussion.
And we have to stop being afraid and start standing, Bob. I told you that a long time ago. Stand. And don't be afraid. And I love you, boy.
You take care now, Bob.
I love your family.
Have you?
Good night, friend.
All right. Bye now.
Bye bye.
Later. I don't know if I make any sense when I say this kind of thing. But if we're going to be true to our mission here at the Horn, we have to start a discussion, and it can't just be a discussion in our own echo chamber. Again, we are not going to let the Horn proceed along the lines of the model built by the Republican right, because their discussions are discussions in echo chambers. you know, the liberals are godless. Yeah, they are, Rush, and they hate family values. Yeah, they hate family values, and they hate George Bush. Yeah, they hate God and family values and George Bush, and they hate capitalism. Yeah, they hate capitalism and George Bush and family values and God. And no, can't work like that. It cannot work like that. Conservative people wander into the chat room. I won't speak for anybody else on the network, but I want them. I don't want them thrown immediately on ignore. This is a free chat room, free message boards, free podcasting, free internet stream, free. And it's free because we want people to enter into the dialogue and the discussion. You know, hey, conservatives, you hate socialized medicine so much, why do you let your conservative members of Congress have it? Can you answer that question, conservative? No, you can't. Because when you begin to think about this kind of stuff, you realize you've been had, you've been conned, you've been snookered. You've been played the fool. Haven't you? And it hurts, doesn't it? Sure it does. Sure it does. So it's kind of a thing that's sort of at cross purposes. On the one hand, we want to create an internal dialogue for liberals and progressives. And we want it to be a safe place for us to work out our ideas. On the other hand, if we eliminate others from that debate and that dialogue and that discussion, then we've proven ourselves no better than the other side. See, I've been taken to task sometimes because I'll say things like George Bush is a jug-eared, pig-eyed little lout and a hateful man. And they'll say, see, you're just a hater. And then people on our side will say, you know, if you wouldn't say that, you might convert more people to our side. And I write back and I say, I'm not so concerned about converting people to our side. This is not a religion. This is dialogue and discussion and debate. And if they've got any original ideas that don't sound like Russia's talking points, that sounds like they may have come actually from the inside of their own skulls, I welcome them to the discussion. No lying, no prevarication, no mendacity, but good, honest discussion about what is and isn't right for America and America's future. It's an attempt to unpolarize this country. To heal the sucking chest wound that exists in the middle of our body politic. Are we subject to bread and circuses like Bob said? Damn right. It's nothing but bread and circuses, and the bread's got poison in it. Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Well, not so much. But, daggum, there's got to be a way to break through. And I hope we do. I sincerely hope that we do. You know, some of the ginned up, faked up, dummied up stories that are out there every blessed day. The one that's been getting the most attention lately is this, one of them at least, is this business with the Border Patrol agents Ramos and Campeon. Now, these two thug bastards shot a man in the back who was unarmed. He was also smuggling marijuana into America. Now, does that little bit of sarcasm mean that I approve of drug smuggling? No, it doesn't mean I approve of drug smuggling. Frankly, I would like to see America produce America's marijuana. For profit. For farmers. You know, not Archer Daniels, Midland, and Cargill and all those jerks. But American farmers growing hemp, growing consumable marijuana for that matter. And not being afraid of helicopters that hover over their houses in the dark and still of the night and terrify their children for growing a damn weed. Okay? But anyway, Campeón and Ramos shot a man in the back, gunned him down. So then the U.S. attorney prosecuted those two thugs and successfully prosecuted them and put on incontrovertible evidence of what they had done in violation of the criminal law of this country, and they were sentenced to 11 and 12 years respectively, as they should have been. Now, the drug smuggler got immunity from prosecution in exchange for his testimony, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing, out of the ordinary about that sort of a circumstance. Okay? They're sentenced, they're doing their time. But this is the sort of America where crimes are only apparently among conservatives selectively prosecutable, if you will. Making its way through the Congress right now is a bill specifically crafted for these two bad cops, these two thug cops, brave, heroic men who shoot people in the back. I watched my fair share of Westerns as a boy growing up. Used to be that shooting somebody in the back was rather a dishonorable offense, wasn't it? But not in the coward nation. No, no, no. We shoot people in the back because we're fighting terrorism. Shoot 'em in the back, Gomez! Shoot 'em in the back! And going through Congress, and you may not have been paying attention, because, and that's not to say you're not paying attention, you're paying attention. You're paying attention to the stuff that matters. You're paying attention to Alberto Gonzalez taking the oath and sitting down and lying his filthy, filthy being into the record in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You're paying attention to the fact that the law of this land is being flaunted by George Bush, Dick Cheney, Harriet Myers, and Josh Bolton in refusing to honor a legally issued subpoena. Right? Right. You're paying attention to the war in Iraq. You're paying attention... War in Iraq, my ass. It's the occupation of Iraq. Somebody slap me every time I say war in Iraq, okay? It's the occupation of Iraq. I love it when you do that, Agnes. It's the occupation of Iraq, and you're paying attention to it, and you know that what comes in September with General Petraeus' report is a bunch of hooey. And you know that health care in this country is broken down, it's shattered into a million pieces. And you know that that's no way to treat your fellow Americans. You're paying attention. And if you get a little relaxation time, you might read for fun, or you might watch a movie. Or go out in the yard and work the garden. Or just sit and watch the sun go down. But you're paying attention all the time. Well, at the same time you're paying attention to all of this, would you care to know what the law and order Republicans are paying attention to? They're worried about Ramos and Campeón. A bill, an amendment, was attached to a bill in the House of Representatives that forbade the Department of Corrections, the Federal Department of Corrections, from spending so much as a single blessed penny to incarcerate Ramos and Campeón, these two rogue cops who shot a man in the back who was unarmed. who violated the stated law of this United States. That bill, that amendment, was attached to the bill, and the bill passed overwhelmingly. It was sponsored, of course, by one of the great Mexican haters of our era, Tom Tancredo of Colorado, and some freak Republican congressman from Texas. Okay? That bill, I repeat, has passed the House. That bill providing a get-out-of-jail-free card to a couple of rogue cops has passed the House and will now go to the Senate. So while you are on the watch and paying attention to the real news and the things that really concern this nation, the Republican Party and some significant portion of Democrats, remember, this amendment was passed in a committee, got out of committee, and was passed by the whole House, so a whole bunch of Democrats are on this one too. These two cops who gun a man down in cold blood by shooting him in the back. That's what the Republicans are paying attention to. And that's what Lou Dobbs is paying attention to. And that's what the right-wing news noise machine is paying attention to. That's what they've got time for. You want to know why we have murders? Mayhem? War crimes? In Iraq? This isn't, oh, the children of America are going to have oral sex because Bill Clinton had an affair. This is real. This is, we live in a nation that applauds men who shoot other men in the back. And therefore, we wind up with horrors in Iraq. Do you remember the story we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Marine Corporal Thomas? This is the guy who executed an Iraqi man, blew him away, killed him dead, and then planted an AK-47 by his body to try to make it look like he was the Marine was defending himself. This is uncontroverted fact. Well, the verdict is in from Corporal Thomas's court-martial. That verdict came in 10 days ago. Corporal Thomas, for the murder of a Haji, will not serve any time at all. He is barely being punished. He was found guilty of kidnapping. He was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. He was found guilty of conspiracy to commit larceny. He was found guilty of conspiracy to commit housebreaking, conspiracy to commit kidnapping, and he was also convicted of making false official statements for his role in the murder of a man in Hamdaniya, Iraq. Six other Marines and a Navy medic were also charged in connection with the death of Hashim Ibrahim Awad, age 52. Again, They blew his stinking brains out and put a drop gun at the scene. As a result of his conviction for kidnapping, conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to commit kidnapping, conspiracy to commit larceny, as a result of all of those convictions, Corporal Trent D. Thomas will be reduced in rank to private and be discharged dishonorably. Do you see a pattern? I see a pattern. I see an emerging pattern. I see a nation that crafts get-out-of-jail-free cards, whose president crafts a get-out-of-jail-free card for a felon who outs secret agents. For a Congress that crafts get-out-of-jail-free cards for a couple of rogue cops who shoot a man in the back who wasn't even armed. And a military court-martial comprised of honorable members of the Marine Corps who wink at cold-blooded murder. This, please understand, Corporal Thomas's case was not a close call. It was uncontroverted. His defense was that he... Remember, we did the story. His defense was that higher-ups had given him an order, had given the unit order to ramp up the violence. And that is why he murdered in cold blood Hashim Ibrahim Awad. A grandfather. It was incontroverted. There was no question he was guilty of murder. And murderers in the Marine Corps now are not even imprisoned. Lieutenant Aaron Watada, who refused to deploy to Iraq for moral grounds, ethical grounds, legal grounds, runs the likelihood of spending a significant portion of his life doing hard time in one of the most god-awful holes on earth, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Corporal Trent D. Thomas, who had no such qualms and murdered a man in cold blood, will be walking the streets of your town inside of a year. Irving Scooter Libby is already walking the streets of Washington, D.C. And inside a couple of months, the rogue cops Ramos and Campeon will be walking the streets again themselves. If Congress gets its way, they may well be given their guns and bullets back and be put in uniform to execute summary justice on the border of the United States of America again. Oh, by the way, Corporal Thomas said, that he was really sorry about it all. That's not all. Oh, I got another one for you. Maybe we'll get to that after the top of the hour. But do you see what is happening to this country? This is a country that is shattering before our eyes. If only you have eyes to see and ears to hear. No falling nation has ever had signs put up that says, end of classic period, enter post-classic period. Enter the decline of the nation. Doesn't work that way. You have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. To see the little signs of the rot that takes down empire. And these are those kinds of signs. It's not abortion. It's not liberals. It is the degradation of the rule of law. And there's no one to degrade the rule of law quite like a Republican. What do you think? Let me know. 304-658-5453. 877-443-2366. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Confirmed. In his first official meeting with President Bush as Britain's Prime Minister, Gordon Brown reaffirmed his country's continuing military presence in Iraq. Today's agenda at Camp David included discussions on international trade and genocide in Darfur. The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq says a large contingent of troops will be needed in the country until mid-2009. A report released today by U.S. Inspector General monitoring Iraqi reconstruction is highly critical of the government's management of funding and projects. More than $44 billion has been allocated for reconstruction there since the U.S. invasion in 2003. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Chief Robert Gates headed to the Middle East today to hold a series of talks with allies meant to help improve security. The two are also bringing the government their billions of dollars in military aid deals. After 38 years of occupation, the British Army officially pulled out of Northern Ireland this morning. The Army had been based in Belfast since 1969. U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts has been hospitalized after a mid-afternoon fall at his summer home in Maine. A Supreme Court spokeswoman says she is unsure how Roberts fell or the extent of his injuries. An ABC News poll indicates that 70% of Americans support the use of public surveillance cameras like those used in central London. New York City, Chicago, and Baltimore are installing anti-crime camera systems for downtown areas later this year. In Washington, D.C., a pest control company hired to kill pigeons around subway entrances caused a scare by leaving the dead pigeons behind. Six subway stations closed temporarily until the FBI and local hazmat crews investigated and determined what killed the birds. One of NFL quarterback Michael Vick's co-defendants pled guilty this morning to federal charges of conspiracy in connection with dogfighting. 34-year-old Tony Taylor will be sentenced on December 14th. You're listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news, coming up next. Now this.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Diabetes drug Avandia should be pulled from the market. According to federal health officials, the drug has been linked to an increased risk of heart attack. A controversial new study released yesterday in London says global warming is contributing to an increase in the number and ferocity of Atlantic hurricanes. The number of hurricanes per season has doubled over the last 100 years. Researchers have identified two genes they think may increase the risk of contracting multiple sclerosis. It is the first major gene discovery in the field in 2 decades. Sara Lee is recalling 27 whole wheat flour products because they may contain small bits of metal. Most of the products were distributed across the southern states under 13 different brand names. Northwest Airlines canceled more than 500 flights over the weekend in a dispute with pilots who say they are being asked to fly too many hours a month. The Lundberg survey says the price of gasoline has dropped about 17 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks. The highest prices at the pump today were found in Chicago and the lowest in Cleveland. Controlling shareholders of the Dow Jones Company continued to debate a takeover bid until late last night. Rupert Murdoch, who has offered to pay $5 billion for the company, says he will take his offer off the table if a deal isn't struck soon. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was up 93 points, the NASDAQ was up 21 points, and the S&P 500 up 15. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Christine Kendall.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Six past the hour, and yeah, we got to hour three in a hurry, didn't we? I'm Bob, just little old Bob, and, well, I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones. Kevin's joining us from Washington, D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. It has been a while. You all right?
Yeah, I've been working out in the Midwest temporarily. I'm in Minnesota. And I'll be heading back to Washington, but I'm getting you online. It's a couple of hours earlier, but, you know, I'm still getting you live and online.
Oh, yeah, I love the Central Time Zone. I just love it, Kevin.
The days are long out here.
Well, you know, if you're in Minnesota, yeah, you're in for some long days. This is the long day part of the year.
Yeah.
Try it in December sometime.
Yeah. Well, no, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
The sun doesn't set until like almost 10 o'clock out here.
I know, isn't that cool?
Yeah, I guess.
I always wanted to take in that jazz festival in up above the Arctic Circle or whatever it is in Sweden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Stockholm Jazz
Festival? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've got a friend who did, and he said it was just amazing. And, you know, just literally a day full of jazz, and by day he means 24 hours.
Yeah.
With the sun up, just about.
Well, the thing I want to come out with, how long do you think Gonzo is going to last?
You know, unless he is forcibly removed from office, he'll be there till Bush leaves office. I'm serious.
You know, going on your earlier conversation where, you know, the get-out-of-jail-free cards are written out, I just have a feeling he has one.
Well, the thing is, there's only one, as Susan noted earlier in the program, there's only one way of taking away his get-out-of-jail-free card,
yeah,
and that's impeaching him.
Yeah, and, well, they said they're going to have something out there tomorrow.
Yeah, there will be a resolution calling for an opening of an impeachment hearing introduced in the House tomorrow.
And the thing is, I don't know, when it's like, I know it's kind of creepy because he's smiling a lot during the trial hearing, kind of like how Scooter Libby was.
Yeah.
You mean it's like that scene in Bonfire of the Vanities with Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's just smiling when his goose is cooked and he's just smiling. He just lied to get out. You know, the truth doesn't set you free kind of lie.
Well, on the one hand, it's tempting to think he's lying like that or grinning like that because he's an idiot.
Well, I just think he's insane.
I think he's grinning like that because he knows that the fix is in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got. Remember, Fredo has the dope on George. Okay. Fredo knows where some of the bodies are buried because it goes way back with him and George, all the way back to where he fixed George's jury duty in Texas to hide his DUIs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's a deal been made somewhere along the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way these people operate, Kevin.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm concerned about Sarge, our good friend Sarge.
Yeah.
I see him getting more demoralized, and last weekend you had to get on him, and I hope he's out there listening, you know.
Oh, I didn't think I got on him. What do you mean?
No. With the guns and all that.
Oh no. Bob. You're not talking about no. You're not talking about Sarge. Sarge is cruising along out in Arizona.
Oh, okay. I mean Bob.
Yeah, Sarge is doing his show every Sunday morning out there at KPHX, and he's doing a whale of a job. Yeah, okay. No, yeah. I understand. I don't mean to be demoralizing, but I think Bob's.
He is, not you.
I know, but I think Bob's incredibly frustrated. I think he manifests a lot of the frustration that some of us don't voice so precisely.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, at the end of the day, and even though I'm not above violence, I'm no Mahatma Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, violence is just a pit for tat kind of thing. The ultimate solutions are political and dialogue. You know, I really do not believe in revolutions. I believe in evolution,
mm-hmm.
maybe even radical evolution. You know, think about it. If the Bush crime family was in the White House, let's say 40 years ago, you think they would have this much color in their cabinet?
Oh, no.
You know, and...
They might have that much color cleaning the cabinets.
Excuse me?
I said they might have that much color cleaning the cabinets.
Yes, but not, you know, managing directors, let's say, of the organization.
No.
Like Rice, Powell, Gonzalez, and God knows whoever. And I think, you know, that's something to be said, that how much society has progressed, in a way. Now, granted, these are people who are... I wouldn't trust them with anything whatsoever. But it's just a matter that is of some significance out there. And because, you know, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have, you know, this much color in any presidential cabinet. Matter of fact, so I think, you know, trying to look at the bright side of this administration, if there's one to be held, you know, that's something significant right there. And again,
but Kevin, let me just delve into that for one second, if you don't mind. I have put forward the idea from time to time, and I hold on to it pretty strongly, that when you're looking at Condoleezza Rice, or you're looking at Colin Powell, where these Republicans, these Bushies, are concerned, it is not a skin color issue.
No,
it's not a diversity issue. It is a wealth issue. These aren't black people. These are rich people.
Oh, yeah.
And at that strata of the circles that the Bush family runs in, the only skin color they see is green, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Well, that's how, you know, but, you know, that is how society has progressed, where it doesn't matter what skin color you are. It's green. You know, 30 years ago, you know, what was another name you called a black PhD who had $1 million or a couple of million in the bank? The N-word. You know, you think they would have that kind of access 30 years ago? No, regardless of how much money they have. You know.
But that's what makes what Lyndon Johnson did so profound with Thurgood Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
There was no call in America for an African American to be placed on the Supreme Court when that vacancy opened up. That was Lyndon Johnson's doing.
And Lyndon Johnson, little do people know, was an unmitigated bigot.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, but with the gun factor and all that, you know, when, and I know it's frustrating, you know, okay, being out in the Midwest, you know, out here now in Minnesota, and I did venture out to the Dakotas for the weekend, I've come across a lot of men with extensive gun collections who are very anti-government, you know, very...
Yeah.
You know.
Collecting, but, collecting $10,000 shotguns for the day when they have to rise up. Yeah, I know.
Against the government. And it came to a point where I had to say to one of them, you know, your little gun has no chance against the U.S. government. None whatsoever.
No.
And the reality is, look at David Koresh, who is well armed.
Yeah.
Okay? David Koresh. If anybody had a stockpile, it was him, and he couldn't even stand up to the government. So what makes you think your little collection of guns is going to protect you? When, you know, when they want to come knocking on your door, you know, they're going to come kicking down the door, and that's all there is to it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, I want to look at all these gun owners who say, I fear my government. Well, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
I mean, the government's not going to get any scarier than it is right now.
Exactly.
You know, all those people who ran around with bumper stickers, Kevin, that said, I love my country, but I fear my government, on the back of their rusty pickup trucks during the Clinton administration. The Clinton administration never passed a Patriot Act. The Clinton administration never passed a means by which your guns, your gun purchases, your car purchases, your everything purchases could be tracked by the FBI without so much as a by your leave from from an independent judiciary. The Clinton administration didn't do that. The reason I mention that is it shows that these people are such unmitigated, hopeless hypocrites.
Well, it's not that they're hypocrites. It's, again, you know, the two words that has been affecting America and, you know, a majority, unfortunately, of white America for the past 7 years, which is willful ignorance.
Well, there's that, too. They're also cowards.
Yeah. Because the reality is, you know, I'd like to see you really, at least one thing you can say about David Koresh, who is not one of my favorite human beings, but he was no coward. Well, then again, you know, he did hide behind some women and children, but still.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's what. Yeah, I don't want to see violence come to this country, because I have enough common sense to realize that if violence comes to this country in the form of, oh my God, what did I just say that? We live in an incredibly violent country as it is. But if state-sponsored violence comes to this country where, you know, posse comitatus is overturned or martial law is declared, I'm sane enough, Kevin, to realize that violence is going to be directed toward the folks that I'm nearest and dearest to, and that's working people and people on the lower end of the political power and economic spectrum, and those are the people who are going to be gunned down like dogs in the streets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's like, it amazes me that, you know, the mentality of a gun. I'm working with a guy now who owns 5 automatic rifles. You know, military-style automatic rifle. And I'm like, why do you know? I am not from an East Coast liberal where I'm against, you know, owning a gun. I grew up around guns.
Sure.
Okay, you know, the hunting rifle. But to me, to have an AK-47 in your house or an M16, those guns are out there.
Well, see, there's a difference. I don't understand owning 5 AK-47s because one AK-47 will do just fine and it seldom jams. On the other hand, you might need 5 M16s because 4 out of 5 of those just probably might not work.
Well,
okay, I'm being a little bit facetious, but there's some
truth
in that.
To me, all those weapons there are designed as killing machines.
Yeah, they're not. You don't hunt Bambi with your AK-47.
Yeah, you know, what happened in the good old days when you carried a regular rifle? You know, to me, those guns are meant to kill other beings that have an intelligence to pull the trigger themselves.
Right. Precisely. Same thing with handguns.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known maybe one, I knew one guy who once a year would go out somewhere in the Wild West, and he had a .357 Magnum with a scope on it and a long barrel, and he went hunting for cougars. Now, I never figured that because I never had a particular desire to eat cat.
Me neither, but...
Yeah, I don't see hunting for stuff that you can't kill unless it's, like, you know, varmints.
Yeah, you know.
And, I mean, I've sat on hillsides, and I've, you know, we've plunked away at groundhogs and stuff like that because there's a benefit to it. I mean, your livestock can step in a hole and break an ankle or something like that. There's a reason to keep them off your property.
Yeah. Well, to me, hunting game, especially game that you eat, is more honorable than cattle raising, which to me I think is concentration camps for cows.
Well, the major feedlot farms are exactly that. You know, they're Cowschwitz.
At least, you know, hunting, you know, it's a 50-50 chance. You know, which to me is still a more honorable thing. You know, but be that as it may, I don't understand these gun nuts who want to protect themselves from the government. When the government wants your behind, they're going to have your behind.
Yeah. And they're not going to wait for you to get in the barricade either.
No. Yeah, and it's like what John Gotti said, you know, the government is you're a mouse against the gorilla when you go up against the government. You know, and that's all there is to it.
There's absolutely truth in what you say. Because if the government, for instance, hears that you've got 100 guns in your house, the government will bring 1,000.
Exactly.
If they hear that you've got 1,000 guns in your house, they'll bring 10,000 because it's the federal government.
Yeah. Hell, they throw away enough weapons every year. You ever seen that movie, Lord of War?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're sort of leading me into the Saudi arms deal story, which should just have all of America just screaming right now.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We've got better things to think about.
Yeah. But, you know, I said, I'm out here, and it amazes me, you know. I'm surrounded by gun nuts who are afraid of the government.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking forward to their Social Security when they retire, and they love their state highways and, you know, and all this other stuff.
Sure. And they like the fact that the trash is picked up on a regular basis. And they turning on the tap and having clean drinking water is real big. And, you know, taxpayer dollars went, you know, that's all socialized. Yeah. But they're rugged individualists who've pulled themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah, well,
it is to laugh.
There is only one rugged individual I know, and they wrote an article about him, about the wild man of North Carolina, who totally dropped out of society. And here's a guy who basically went into the woods naked with a knife. And he has clothed himself, and he lives somewhere like in the Smoky Mountains area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, GQ wrote an article about him. And he's basically living like that a Native American did 300 years ago.
I read that article a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he makes everything. His food, his own clothing, everything. He hasn't bought. He doesn't use money. He doesn't use anything. That's what you call rugged individualism.
Yeah. And what you find out when you live that life is it doesn't leave a lot of time for anything else.
Exactly. You driving an Eddie Bauer expedition with a gun rack, listening, you know, he doesn't even listen to radio. He makes his own music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has nothing, nothing on him is artificial or anything. The only thing he owns that he has bought, the only possession that has been bought was this hunting knife that he, like a Bowie knife or something, that he bought like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that you're right. As compared with the guy with the Hummer, you know, I'm a rugged individualist and I found my way up by my bootstraps. No. They don't know from bootstraps and they don't know about rugged and there's nothing individual about them because they're pack animals and they go to, they move in herds, but they think that because they're armed, they're not sheep.
Yeah. That's all, male compensation, I guess, penis envy or whatever. You know, some Freudian thing which they need help with. You know, which I don't want to get into now. But anyway, Bob, I just wanted to touch base. It's
well,
been a while.
It's good. It has been a while. It's good to hear from you. Good to know you're okay. And let us know when you get back from the wilds of the upper Midwest.
I'll be back on Friday.
Okay, good deal. Travel safely, Kevin.
Okay, then.
All right, bye now.
Okay, bye.
Our good friend Kevin, normally from D.C., presently from the wilds of far Minnesota. Now, I mentioned that there was one more story, and I'm going to go ahead and share it with you, about rogue cops. Oh, and by the way, yeah, we're going to the Bush administration wants to sell just a buttload of guns to Saudi Arabia. Now, my thinking on this, you know, nobody has mastered the art of drop shipping like the United States has since the advent of internet business. I'm wondering if we can get the Saudi arms deal drop shipped to Iraq, where they'll where Saudis will use them on American servicemen anyway. Because you cannot tell me, you cannot convince me that these weapons will not eventually be used for the fighting in Iraq, where more than what's the new statistic? Or not new, but the current statistic, more than 50% of the people that our troops are fighting in Iraq, not Al-Qaeda. Not crazy Iranians. No, not them either. Saudis. Just like almost 90% or more of the 9/11 hijackers were Saudis, so too are the vast majority of people who are committing slaughter, murder, and mayhem in Iraq, Saudis. Of course, we knew this was coming. Do you remember when the King of Saudi Arabia told the Vice President of the United States to hot-foot it and Johnny on the spot it, right double quick, over to the Royal Palace to kneel and be instructed? Remember when that happened? And the King of Saudi Arabia told Dick Cheney, told him, didn't ask him, told him. And Dick Cheney said, "Sir, yes, sir." Or actually, "Yes, Your Serene Royal Highness, of course, Your Serene Royal Highness." That the Saudis would be allowing their people into Iraq to fight American soldiers. Dick Cheney said, "Fine by me, Your Grace." Well, this is part of that. It's not just that the Saudi royal family, that filthy, filthy gang of thugs, it's not just that they're going to fight us in Iraq. Now, because we don't dare say boo to them, they're going to make us provide them with the weapons to kill our own soldiers. And Richard B. Dick Cheney says, "Cool by me. I ain't out there getting shot at. None of the people I care about are out there getting shot at. You know, only shooting Dick Cheney does is at birds in a net and his best friends. Because, you know, Dick Cheney, him heap big white hunter." God almighty. World's upside down, isn't it? I mean, it's completely just upside down. So I'm figuring we'll get the guns drop shipped to Anbar province. Make it easy for the Saudis. Because after all, where the Bush administration is concerned, making it easy for the Saudis is very, very important. Now, a follow-up, if I may. One last rogue cop story. This one kind of close to home, because it takes place in Charleston, West Virginia. Now, there's a joke that has gone around this state, and maybe other states tell it about their state police too. But this, the joke goes that a couple had a weekend getaway cabin up in the Monongahela National Forest in West Virginia. And they went for a weekend visit and found that it had been burned down. So, being in a national forest, they told the authorities, and the FBI came in and performed a year-and-a-half investigation, generated a 10,000-page report, and said they were unable to ascertain who the arsonist had been. So, failing that, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was brought in. They burned down 10,000 acres of national forest and issued a report saying that the forest fire was caused by the same bear who burned down the cabin. Well, after that yielded no real results, the West Virginia State Police was brought into the investigation, and one lone, burly, muscle-bound trooper walked into the woods and 2 hours later came out with a groundhog that was bleeding from every orifice and bruised beyond recognition, screaming as he was handcuffed to the trooper, I confess, I'm a bear. Well, a few nights ago, a gentleman by the name of Roger Wolf, long about midnight on a Friday night, I think it was a Friday, doesn't matter, got into his blue Jeep Cherokee and was said to be observed driving erratically. He was pulled over by a member of the West Virginia State Police and by Trooper Paul A. Green after midnight on June 17th. Pulled over by Trooper Paul A. Green, who said he was driving erratically, did the usual thing, and asked the guy, Roger Wolf, asked him, do you have any handguns in the car? Because after all, this is West Virginia, where, you know, the minute you're born, they give you a gun. Other states, you know, they have baby showers, and they bring diapers and blankets. In West Virginia, at the baby shower, they bring guns and ammunition. So the guy says, yeah, I mean, apparently he wasn't so loaded that he was unable to communicate. He says, yeah, I got a gun, and reaches under the seat to give it to the cop. The cop freaks out and moves him back to the back of the vehicle and secures the gun himself. So then he is taken down to the South Charleston, West Virginia headquarters of the West Virginia State Police, where, for reasons we do not yet know, Roger Wolf is handcuffed to a chair and beaten beyond recognition. Now, if you want to see what beyond recognition means, you can go to wvgazette.com, and in the search bar, type in Roger Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. And I think probably the second or third story that will hit will be the main story. Lawyer says man beaten by state police. Handcuffed to a chair, beaten almost beyond recognition when after they had beaten the stuffing out of him, after his nose was leaking cranial fluid, he was finally arraigned before Magistrate Carol Foudy, who said, Jesus, what have you people done? And ordered him taken to the emergency room, whereafter he was hospitalized for 6 days with a broken face. Welcome to America. Welcome to Bushmerica. Welcome to Dickmerica. Welcome to what happens in a fascist dictatorship. Welcome to what happens to a country whose elected parliamentary body has been reduced to a debating society. There's no explanation for why they felt the need to chain him to a chair and nearly beat him to death. Magistrate Foudy said, "To me, he looked so bad that I thought the jail would not have taken him in that condition." The West Virginia State Police is, of course, mounting a serious investigation of its own. In other words, a whitewash. And I'm going to take you to somewhere that some of you might say that I am a cruel and inhuman bastard for going. You see the photos of what happened to Roger Wolf and you say, "Jesus, God, that's awful." And it is. Shouldn't happen to a dog. Shouldn't happen to anything living. But let's talk a minute about Roger Wolf. Roger Wolf is well respected in the Charleston, West Virginia community. He's a well respected member of the bar. He's a frequent participant in the West Virginia Light Opera, Charleston Light Opera Guild. A patron of the arts. One who gives back to his community on a frequent basis. He's able to do this, however, because he is the senior labor lawyer at a law firm named Jackson and Kelly. Jackson and Kelly is the law firm in West Virginia where the claims of widows and orphans go to die. Jackson and Kelly is actively engaged. Well, for instance, unless I misremember, counsel for the mining group that owned the Sago coal mines, Jackson and Kelly. Counsel for various and sundry mountaintop removal operations, Jackson and Kelly. Counsel for numerous corporations, Jackson and Kelly. Now, when you hear that the guy was the senior labor lawyer, please do not mistake yourself into thinking that this man somehow represented folks who'd been screwed over in their wages, or unions that had been done in an attempt to organize a workplace. No, precisely the opposite. Mr. Wolf is the man you call if some working stiff gets up on his hind legs and decides that he's better than a piece of working trash and wants himself a union. Because Mr. Wolf will come in and make damn sure that that man never gets one. And he will help the company stall and delay and backdoor and intimidate and make sure that those dirty little workers remember where the hell they are and how quickly they can be destroyed by the company. Now, if you go and you look at WVGazette.com, you'll see an editorial that follows up that says that this case is shocking, shocking, shocking. And I don't know what the editorial writer was thinking when he or she wrote it, but he says something along the lines of, usually the cases of state police beating the hell out of people is people that have no economic power, no clout, and no ability to fight back. We are shocked to see now that they're doing it to a high-powered lawyer, and we can expect to see a multi-million-dollar claim for damages. There was something just a little bit snotty about that in my book. But I made a comment the other night that resonated with a couple of people. I said something about not being willing to have my karma taken out back and gang raped. In other words, not engaging in activities where I have to do things that are so nasty that they're going to bring ugly, nasty other stuff back on me. Is this a case of that? Wonder how Roger Wolf would feel if he found out that one of his corporate clients had had some union organizers beaten. Or would he just look the other way and not know it? Is there such a thing as karma? Is there such a thing as the things you do coming back to haunt you? Or is this just a case of the of a couple of not very bright at all state police officers picking on the wrong guy at the wrong time? I mean, you can't look at this. You can't look at these photographs. You know, talking about photos on the radio, dancing about architecture. Go look at them if you want to. WVGazette.com, Roger Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. You can't look at these photographs and not feel profoundly, profoundly sorry for this man. I don't care how drunk he was. He didn't deserve this. I don't care what sort of things he may have said, and people say nasty things to cops, but cops are held to a higher standard, or used to be. You see, if you study the rise of fascism in any given place, one of the things that you see is that standards of basic decency and conduct for law enforcement and the military are rapidly degraded and eroded, so that the cops can do as they wish. No one deserves what was done to Roger Wolf. I hope that Roger Wolf will come out of this process with a little better understanding of some of the nasty, vile things he has done in the name of zealous representation to working people in West Virginia. I hope. I have no faith that that will happen. But the Gazette is correct in one regard, and that is, this will cost the taxpayers via their insurance company a fortune. Now, the question is, what will happen to the troopers? My position, because of the position of power and authority that they occupy, the troopers who did this, who beat this man until his face was shattered and cranial fluid leaked from his nose, they should be tried, convicted, and put in the maximum security prison at Mount Olive, West Virginia, or in a federal maximum security prison for a very, very, very long time. I wonder, however, how long it will take for the right-wingers in West Virginia to come to bat for the poor, bedraggled state troopers who beat Roger Wolf within an inch of his life. Because I know that they will. I know that somewhere along the way, any legal action Roger Wolf takes will be decried by the right wing and the Republican Party in this state as a frivolous lawsuit, as an abuse of our judicial system. Because, you see, that's the way it is with right-wingers and corporatists. They will turn on their own in an instant. That's just a fact. Agnes, you want to take a little break? We'll take a little break. We're almost done with the program. We'll take it on home here very presently. We're keeping our fingers crossed. We think we're going to be go for Strictly Confidential this evening with Peter Godbold. We are go. Houston, we are go for liftoff. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, S-H-E-A-R-S. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates us for our freedom. Fear. It's what's for dinner. I was in Tijuana eating barbecued iguana. I love that song. 11 minutes before the hour, I'm Bob. This is Head On. Listen, a quick note. If you have not tuned in for Billy Shears' Night Sounds Saturday nights,
at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, God knows what time in the rest of the world, you're missing a treat. This is what a I don't know how to tell you, but it is just 3 hours of sheer, utter, absolute enjoyment. And this week's Thursday night special over at shearsmusic.com is my own lovely Agnes opining on a favorite tune of hers. And it'll play at the end of Night Sounds this Saturday night. Okie dokie. I did that part, Agnes. I did the night. Yeah. Now we had a little technical problem last week, and it was 10 to 1 instead of 9 to midnight. But it'll be 9 to midnight. That's what it's going to be. Jump on in there. Listen, and a bunch of us are hanging out in the chat room on Saturday night. So join us there if you've never been to the chat room. Okay. Billy takes requests. That's why we run the promo there, where you can hear the email address, and you know, let him know, and he'll play your song. Heck of a DJ that Billy Shears. A couple of emails in. One from our friend Cindy in Washington. The story talking about lawyer being beaten. That story's horrifying. She says, I sent it to a really good site, unknownnews.com. She says, this kind of story is a big, big reason why people will not visit West Virginia for vacation. This just ruins business. Saying that on the air is the only thing that matters to these thugs. They have no heart for how badly the man was hurt. I think, yeah, I know. And our good friend Angie from PBSblog.com. Great site, says there's only one reason for the sadistic treatment of people like this. They get off on it. They like committing brutality on others. They like hurting people. They like destroying someone else's psyche. They're brainwashed Nazi thugs, scumbags. God help us all. Angie. Yeah, God help us all, or And I know this is wildly optimistic and probably delusional. Let's say we help ourselves. But, you know, a lone individual against a bunch of armed thugs. Let me remind you, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I mean, every state has some form of state police, state troopers, highway patrol, yada, 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 yada. Ours has a rather special history here in West Virginia, though. Up until, second decade of the 20th century, we didn't have a state police. We didn't have a highway patrol. We didn't have any highways. West Virginia, come on. But at the time when the legislature moved to outlaw what were called gun thugs, company thugs, armed private armies hired and maintained by the coal companies themselves from places like Pinkerton and Baldwin Felt's Detective Agency, some detective. When those were outlawed, the Baldwin thugs and Pinkerton thugs who had been put out of work by that legislation were then hired on the taxpayer dole by the state of West Virginia, and they were called the West Virginia State Police. That is where our state police come from. The Baldwin Mine Thugs. That's their origin. That's their history. It just is. Is every state trooper like the ones in this story? No. No, not at all. I've known a number of really, really, really fine members of that outfit, and who would no more do this than they would do it to one of their own loved ones. I've known some mighty bad ones too. Just are. And an email in from our good friend Andy over in the Netherlands. On a separate topic, wouldn't it be poetic justice if they impeached Gonzo for performing faith-based oral sex on the president? Just a quirky thought. I don't know how quirky it is. You know, you read those rumors out there about who is it, the former mayor of Knoxville and Bush, and remember the hooker from Nevada who was running for governor out there that issued an affidavit that was quietly never done anything with by the mainstream media, saying that she had been the agent who procured certain services for George Bush and his boyfriend? I don't know. Don't know about Fredo. But of course, it's worth noting. But once again, it's not about the sex. It's about the hypocrisy. We're pretty much done for the evening. I want to let you know, again, for those of you who don't like to use PayPal, we have a mailing address now. We have a... and it will, as soon as our good friend John Fox gets back up into service with his new internet service provider, it'll go on the website. But if you want to help make sure that the horn continues doing what the horn does so very, very well, and you don't like to use PayPal and do that electronic stuff, you can send funds directly to Head On Communications, 1038-1038 North Eisenhower Drive, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, B as in Boy, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Promise we'll get that up on the website. We'll also set up a subscription button so it can be recurring. I'm really, really grateful to y'all. We're almost at the end of July, and we started the fundraising effort at the beginning of July, and I am proud to tell you that you have made it possible for us to make it to the end of August. Unfortunately, this is a recurring thing, and we will have to see at the end of August whether it's possible to make it to the end of September. I wish there was some liberal angel out there who just said, listen, you know, let's make sure that you guys can stay at it forevermore. But that person has not appeared yet, and you yourselves have instead taken on the role of not one angel, but many, many, many angels. And we are so very, very proud to have your input and your help. So thank you. Now we have to get started on next month. That's it for the show tonight. Coming up next, Peter Godbold and Strictly Confidential, the most fabulous radio show on the horn and in America. Tonight's show was produced, of course, by the lovely Agnes. John Fox is our engineer in absentia at the moment. We can't wait. We can't wait to have him back. Ben Birch is the hardest working man in liberal talk. Everything that happens on the horn happens because of Ben and WhiteRoseSociety.org. And of course, we are very grateful to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who helped us get this whole thing started, and thereby are helping us to save the American dream, even as they build the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. Taliban leaders claim they have killed a South Korean hostage, one of 23 Christian aid workers abducted by Islamic militants because the Afghan government let a deadline pass without releasing Taliban prisoners from its jails. The report remains unconfirmed until a body is provided. Afghan officials say intelligence reports indicate that two hostages may have been killed. 10 Afghans working for a U.S. security company were killed in an ambush today in southern Afghanistan. The attack occurred on the same highway on which those South Koreans were kidnapped more than a week ago. In his first official meeting with President Bush as Britain's prime minister, Gordon Brown reaffirmed today his country's continuing military presence in Iraq. Meantime, the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq says a large contingent of troops will be needed in the country until mid-2009. If that timeline is kept, that means the Iraq war would pass to President Bush's successor. Today, the Pentagon announced three U.S. soldiers have been killed during combat operations in the Anbar province. A car bomb in a Baghdad market killed six people today and wounded 12. 52 other Iraqis died in sectarian attacks today throughout the country. As many as seven people were killed and 50 wounded by stray bullets when thousands of Iraqis took to the streets to celebrate the country's soccer victory in the Asian Cup tournament. Iraqi Parliament adjourned for the month of August today. A report released by the U.S. Inspector General monitoring Iraqi reconstruction, highly critical of the government's management of funding and projects. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Chief Robert Gates head to the Middle East today to hold a series of talks with allies meant to help improve security. The two also bring governments there billions of dollars in military aid deals. In the Gaza Strip, Palestinians who fled during battles between Hamas and Fatah weeks ago began returning to their homes today. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas asked for Russia's support in his feud with